श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, yesterday we looked at Srimadhva. Then let me see if there are some further points from Adiraj.
Same Madhva, I think the same Madhva which is listed in the Parampara here.
Yeah, same Madhva. There's only one Madhva, Madhvacharya.
So there's one Madhva and one Madhva. Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya.
Madhva and Madhvacharya,
two. Yeah, Madhva is a great Acharya. Yeah, one is
Madhva and one is Madhava. Madhva, he was one of the disciples of Madhvacharya.
So you are talking about Madhva.
Madhva.
Number 5.
I am always talking about Madhva only. When I talk about Madhva, I am talking of number 5. Madhva. Madhvacharya, the famous Madhva.
Disciple of Vyasa.
Yes.
And his commentary is maybe he hand wrote it and then someone printed it.
Everything, you know, all come, everything that we see is like that. No? Whatever we see from India before the printing press came was handwritten.
And then some other people printed.
Yeah, not some other people, the followers.
Followers.
Everything is like that. All of, even the Gita text that we see was handwritten.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Vadiraja, he comments on text 4. Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnate ityatra naishkarmyam nishkarmanam yogyam jnanam. He comments on the word naishkarmyam that appears on text 4. Which means the position where you have freedom from reaction. That means the position of jnana, the position of knowledge, which qualifies you for freedom from karma. Anarambhat. Na karmanam anarambhat. Naishkarmyam purushaha ashnute. Notice the word anarambhat. By not beginning, by not performing, and anarambhat, he translates it as Vishnu Priti Artham Arambha Abhavat, which means not performing prescribed duties for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The rest of the comments are.
Okay.
Ramanuja Acharya has very carefully written this. This comment on this section. This explanation is very, very methodical. Not that the others are not methodical, but his presentation is quite methodical. I'll only summarize his points because too many important points. He first of all he summarizes what has been stated in the second chapter. Tadeva mukshubhih prapyataya vedantodita nirastan nikhla vidyadi dosha gandha navidhika atishaya sankhye yakalyana gunagana parabrahma purushottama praptyupaya bhuta vedana Pasana Dhyanadi Shabda Vachya Tadaikantikatyantika Bhaktim Vaktum Tadangabhutam Ya Atma Bhatapatma Ityadi Prajapati Vakyo Ditam Pratuh Atmanaha Yadhatnya Darshanam Tan Nityata Jnana Purvaka Asanga Karma Nishpatya Jnana Yoga Sadhya Muktam. What did he speak so far? This is what he he spoke. He spoke about realizing the nature of the soul. which can be attained by Jnana Yoga, which can be attained by engaging in unattached performance of very prescribed duties, which is preceded by knowledge of the soul as being eternal and not destructible. Now the soul is the one who actually is meant to attain the Supreme Lord. And actually, what he actually wants to teach is, he wants to teach how to attain the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, he can be attained by spotless bhakti, ekantika atyantika bhakti, unmotivated, single-pointed devotional service to him. In the Upanishads, such devotional service is presented under various synonyms. For instance, sometimes, instead of saying one must do devotional service to the Lord, it is said one must realize the Lord, one must get to know the Lord, Vedana. Sometimes it is said one should worship the Lord, Upasana. Sometimes it is said you should meditate upon the Lord. But they are all simply synonyms of the same bhakti. So, but the scripture has used them synonymously. Sometimes they will say you should know the Lord. That means you should do devotional service to the Lord, and by doing devotional service, the Lord will reveal himself to you. That is called knowing the Lord. Sometimes the scriptures will say you should meditate upon the Lord. That also means the same thing, that you engage in devotional service while thinking about him. If you think about him and do devotional service, you are thinking about him, your contemplation will become concentrated, that it will be called meditation at a higher stage. And sometimes they will say you should worship the Lord. When you engage in devotional service, you are pleasing the Supreme Lord. So that is worship of the Lord. So through various synonyms, this has been taught in the scriptures, that you must engage in bhakti. But in order to do bhakti, the Upanishads present knowledge of the soul, and they present that before doing bhakti, you must come to the Jnana Yoga, you should realize yourself. For that you should do Jnana Yoga, for that you should do Nishkama Karma Yoga. For that you should know that the soul is different from the body. So therefore Krishna spoke, just like in the Upanishads, he spoke, step by step he spoke. Because this is also called an Upanishad, Gita Upanishad. So the whole idea is to attain the Supreme Lord, who is called Purushottama, who is called Param Brahma. And he is an unbounded, he is an ocean of unbounded, excessive, uncountable auspicious qualities. Free from even the scent of any defect, such as ignorance. And he has been presented in Vedanta, which means the Upanishads. So this is the point that has been brought out in the second chapter. And then he gives examples from two Upanishads. One is Chandogya Upanishad and the other is Katha Upanishad. I am not going to get into this analysis, but I will simply point out that for both he points out that the Upanishads also follow the same system, that the goal is to help the person understand that you should attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you need to engage in spotless devotional service to him. In order to engage in spotless devotional service to him, you have to have realized that you are different from the body. For that, you need to engage in Jnana Yoga. And for that, you need to engage in your very prescribed duties without attachment. For that, you need to know that the soul is eternal and is not perishable like the body. So he quotes from Chandogya Upanishad and Katha Upanishad. So in both ways he demonstrates. He gives two examples, paralleling Gita Upanishad. Atah param adhyaya chatushtayena idam eva praptuhu pratyek atmanaha darshanam sa sadhanam prapanchayati. So now, in the next four chapters, he explains how to realize the nature of the individual soul who is the one who is the sadhaka? He is the one who is trying to attain the Supreme Lord. Attainment of the Supreme Lord involves three things. Prapya, the one who is to be attained, that is the Supreme Lord, the goal. Then you have prapti, the process of attainment. And then you have the prapta, the one who is meant to attain. So here right now, Krishna is going to talk in the next four chapters on how to realize the nature of the person who wants to attain the Supreme Lord. In other words, the individual self, the limited conscious entity, the Jivatma. Along with the means to attain the Supreme Lord, he will describe this in the next four chapters. Yes.
You know, you are describing about the prerequisites, jnana and before that.
That is the indirect process, yes. But the scriptures presented, yes.
You describe jnana, karma and the fact that the soul is different from God. But, I mean, in this sequence, the Ashtanga Yoga is not coming.
No, Ashtanga Yoga is understood as a mature development of, after you realize that you are different from the body, then you engage in meditation of the Supreme Lord as being the master of the spirit soul. So it is understood to be one step that comes after.
After deepening jnana.
Jnana and bhakti.
Mishra bhakti, then after jnana stage.
Bhakti Mishra Yoga.
Bhakti Mishra Yoga. And yoga means Ashtanga Yoga?
No. Yoga means Ashtanga Yoga. Yoga itself means Ashtanga Yoga. Just like karma means Varnashrama Dharma. Jnana means Shastra Vichara. Yoga means Ashtanga Yoga. So if Ashtanga Yoga is big and Bhakti Yoga is small, then that combination is called Bhakti Mishra Yoga. Then what happens? You go on increasing Bhakti. So then Ashtanga Yoga becomes small. So then it's called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. And one still goes on increasing Bhakti. Then it comes to Kevala Bhakti. So that is what it is. Here is, I'll just bring out a few points that Ramananda brings up, because most of his points have already been covered. So only a few points I'll bring up. His comment on text 3. Ahi sarvo laukika purushaha sanjata moksha vilashaha tadani meva jnana yoga adhikare prabhavati apitu an abhisamhita phalena kevala parama purusharadhana rupena anushtitena karmana vidvastantam malaha avyakulendriyaha jnananishthayam adhikaroti yataha pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha iti parama purusha aradhanaika veshata karmanam vakshyate. It's not that all people of this world simply because they have developed a desire or a hankering to attain liberation, they are immediately capable of entering into Jnana Yoga. Rather, without desiring the material fruits of Varnashrama Dharma, simply as a means of worship of the Supreme Lord, when you engage in such Varnashrama Dharma, internally your heart becomes pure and your senses stop agitating you. You become peaceful. Then you become qualified to come on to the Jnana Yoga platform, Jnana Nishtha platform. This is the same point that Krishna will make later in the 18th chapter, that by worship through Varnashrama Dharma, through one's own Swadharma actually, by worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of everything, through performance of one's own Swadharma, one can attain perfection. So everybody is not qualified to engage in Jnana Yoga. Only some people have that qualification. Jnana Yoga means their senses are not disturbing them. They're peaceful, their senses are all peaceful. He says in his commentary to text 4, Anabhisamhita Palaihi Karmakrihi Anarathita Govindaihi Avinashta Anadikala Pravritta Ananta Papa Sanchayaihi Avyakulendriyata Purvika Atmanishtha Dussampadya. By those who do not perform their varnashrama duties spiritually, that means those who engage in these varnashrama duties desiring the fruits of those prescribed duties, and without worship of the Supreme Lord Govinda, and those who have not destroyed their sins which have been accumulated since beginningless time, and it is very, very difficult to come to the plane of Atmanishtha or Jnananishtha, which requires the senses to be non-turbulent. I need my Gita, my Bhagavad Gita. I know I put it upstairs. Just bring it. In his commentary text 5, he says, Ataha ukta lakshanena karma yogena prachinam papa sanchayam nashayatva gunamsya sattvadin vashekritva nirmala antahkaranena sampadyaha jnana yoga. Because the living entity cannot remain inactive for one moment, and because the modes of material nature, they are impelling one to engage in some activity, therefore, by engaging in karma yoga as characterized above, one should destroy the ancient accumulation of sins in his heart. One should bring under his control the three modes of material nature, and then one will be able to engage in jnana yoga with a pure heart, not otherwise. Anyatha jnana yogaya pravrittah mithyacharo bhavati. Otherwise, if one engages in jnana yoga with an impure heart, then he becomes a mithyachara, a pretender. Avinashta papataya ajitta bahyantakaranaha atmajnanaya pravrittaha vishaya pravanataya atmani vimukhi krutamanaha vishayaneva smaranya aste anyatha sankalpya anyatha charati iti sam mithyachara uchyate. Because he is not destroyed sins which are accumulated from beginningless time, and he has not controlled his external senses, but he is engaged, he is attempting to realize that he is different from the body and so on. He is trying to move towards the Jnananishtha plane. However, his mind is averse to self-realization because of excessive attachment towards sense gratification. Therefore, in his mind, he is still meditating on sense objects. So, he is resolved to move in one direction, but he is actually doing something else. And therefore, he is called a pretender. Atma jnanaya ujyuktaha viparitaha vinashtaha bhavati. Ityartha. So, even though he is embarked on the pathway to self-realization, he is moving in an opposite direction, and therefore he collapses, he falls. Shridhar Swami अत्रोपाय कर्मयोग प्राधान्येन उपसंहृतः हरिणः ज्ञानयोगश्च तद्गुणत्वेन कीर्तितः. In this chapter, the means is presented as Karma Yoga. And by Lord Hari, Jnana Yoga is also presented. एवं तावत् अशोच्यान अनुशोचस्तम इत्यादिना प्रथम मोक्ष साधनत्वेन देहात्म विवेक बुद्धि रुक्ता. राइट एट द बिगिनिंग कृष्ण ही चास्टाइज्ड अर्जुन सेइंग दैट यू आर लैमेंटिंग फॉर व्हाट इज नॉट वर्थी ऑफ बीइंग लैमेंटेड अपॉन एंड ही प्रेजेंटेड एज द मीन्स फॉर लिबरेशन द डिस्क्रिमिनेशन बिटवीन बॉडी एंड द सोल एंड देन आफ्टरवर्ड ही सेड एषा ते भीता सांख्ये बुद्धिर्योगे त्वां शृणु इत्यादिना कर्मचोक्तम देन ही सेड देन ही स्पोक अबाउट कर्म नच तयोर गुणप्रधान भाव स्पष्टम दर्शितः. बट इज नॉट पॉइंटेड आउट दैट व्हाट इज कॉल्ड ज्ञान एंड व्हाट इज कॉल्ड कर्म इज बेस्ड ऑन व्हाट इज विदर दे हैव प्रेडोमिनेंट फीचर्स ऑफ कर्म एंड ज्ञान दैट इज नॉट बीन क्लियरली डेमोन्स्ट्रेटेड. तत्र बुद्धियुक्तस्य चित्तप्रज्ञस्य निष्कामत्व नियतेन्द्रियत्व निरहंकारत्वाद्यभिधानः एषा ब्राह्मी स्थितिः पार्थ इति स प्रशंसम उपसंहाराच्च बुद्धिकर्मणोर मध्ये बुद्धे श्रेष्ठत्वं भगवत अभिप्रेतं मन्वानः अर्जुन उवाच जायसी चेदिति. एंड ही स्पोक अबाउट द स्थितप्रज्ञ एज बीइंग निष्काम विच मीन्स विदाउट एनी मंडेन डिजायर्स नियतेन्द्रिय हिज सेंसेस आर फुल्ली अंडर हिज कंट्रोल निरहंकार नो अहंकार एट ऑल एटसेट्रा. And he glorified this in the last shloka of the second chapter, saying this is the spiritual status. So then Arjuna is thinking, oh, so Krishna actually, he is of the opinion that the spiritual conception is higher than engaging in karma, in Vedic prescribed duties. So, he says, karvana sakashan mokshantarakatvena buddhir jayasi adhikatara shreshtha che tava sammata tarhi kimartham tasmad yuthyasva iti tasmad utishtha iti cha varam varam vadan ghore himsatmake karmani mam pravartyasi. Okay, so if it is actually higher, if higher than karma is jnana, knowledge, as a means to attaining liberation, then why repeatedly are telling me, engage in this war, stand up and fight. Repeatedly you're engaging me, impelling me to engage in this violence-filled activity. Sometimes, nano dharmyati yuddha shreyanya kshatriyasya na vidyate ityadina कर्मणः अपि श्रेष्ठत्वम् उक्तम् एव इति आशङ्क्याः व्यामिश्रेण इति. नौ ऐ वेरि क्लियर्लि सेड् दट् नथिङ्ग् इस् बेटर् फार् अ क्षत्रिय देन् टु एन्गेज् इन् अ रिलिजियस् वार्. सो ही एण्टिसिपेट्स् दिस् एण्ड् ही सेस् नो यु स्पोक् मिक्स्ड् अप् थिङ्ग्स् व्यामिश्रेण इक्विवोकलि क्वचित् कर्म प्रशंसा क्वचित् ज्ञान प्रशंसा इत्येवं व्यामिश्रं संदेह उत्पादकम् इव यद्वाक्यम् एज इफ दे आर क्रिएटिंग डाउट्स एज इफ दे कैन क्रिएट डाउट्स. समटाइम्स यू ग्लोरिफाइड कर्म समटाइम्स यू ग्लोरिफाइड ज्ञान तेन मे बुद्धिं मतिं उभयत्र दोलायतां कुर्वन् मोहयसि इव. सो यू आर टेकिंग माई इंटेलिजेंस माई माइंड एंड यू आर getting it to swing from one extreme to another. So like that you appear to be bewildering me. Paramakarunikasya tava mohakattvam nasti evam. You are the most merciful person. So you certainly don't bewilder me. Tathapi bhrantya mama evam bhati. But due to my own bewilderment, It appears to me like this, you see. This is called respect. This is called respect. So anyone who's not, anyone with some sense will respect Krishna and respect Krishna's devotees. Not that in the name of Raganuga Bhakti, you know, they disrespect Krishna while they have mundane desires. That is not Raganuga Bhakti, that is Roganuga Bhakti. A disease, they're following a disease. Then the other points have been brought out by the later acharyas. Okay, text 4. The points out. How some people could take sannyas so seriously. Anucha evameva pravrajina evameva pravrajinaha lokamichyantaha pravrajanti iti shrutya sannyasasya mukshangatva shrutehe sannyasadeva mukshah bhavishyati kim karma bhi iti ashankyoktam nacheti. Krishna anticipates that Arjuna will be thinking of a certain statement in the Shruti that in order to or desiring that world of the absolute truth, the kingdom of God, the renunciants, they renounce everything. They renounce mundane prescribed duties to engage in full spiritual life. So based on statements like that, it certainly appears that sannyasa is certainly an accessory or a means. It's a means to attain moksha, liberation. And therefore, it is by sannyas you get liberation. What is the use of this entire Varnashrama framework, karma? But then Krishna says, no. Nacha sannyasanadeva siddhim samadhigacchati. Nacha chitta shuddhim vina. Kritat sannyasanadeva jnanashunyat siddhim moksham samadhigacchati prapnoti. Without purification of heart, by mere renunciation, which has no spiritual realization, you cannot attain liberation. Karmanavcha sannyasas teshu anasakti matram natu swarupena ashakyatvadityaha. When you talk about renouncing karma, it is understood that you only have to renounce the attachment. In other words, you have to be detached, anasakti matram, from enjoying through those prescribed duties. Not that you have to actually give up the activity itself, because it's impossible to give it up. With this in mind, he speaks text 5. Nahikashikshanamapi jatutishtatya karma krit karyate yavashah karma sarva prakriti jai gunai. It's not possible for anyone to give up karma. Jatu kasyam chiddapi avasthayam kshanamatramapi kashchidapi jnani agyani va akarma krit karmani akurvanah nadishtati. Jatu. Jatu means at any stage. At any stage, it could be the Karma Yoga stage, Jnana Yoga stage, any stage. At any stage, even for one kshana, one moment, no one. No one means neither the Jnani nor Ajnani, a Karmi. Nobody can refrain from doing any activity because Prakriti is going to make them do activities. Ataha Agyam Karma Tyaginam Nindati. And therefore, Krishna criticizes the person who has not elevated himself to the Jnana plane, the Agya, the ignorant person, and who is trying to give up karma, or the one who has given up karma. Vakpanyadini karmendriyani samyamya nigrihya yaha manasa bhagavadhyana chalena indriyarthan vishayan smaran aste. That person, he has controlled his speech, his hands and so on, he has restrained them. But in his mind, on the pretext of meditating on the Supreme Personality of God, he is actually meditating on sense objects. with a contaminated mind. Avishuddhataya manasi atmani sthairya bhava samithyachara kapatachara dambhika uchyate. So this person, he is a kapatachara. He's a cheater, he's a deceiver. Because he's not steady. He's not steadily fixed on the self. Because of his impure mind. So he's proud, he's arrogant. This person is arrogant. We should not commit these kind of mistakes. Very serious blunders. In the name of meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we actually bring nonsense. We should immediately take up contact a competent spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. We should contact our spiritual master and immediately solve the problem rather than be stuck in that. Keshav Kashmiri, his initial remarks are very important. Evam tavat, this is commentary text 1. Evam tavat arjunasya atma tattva upadesha nimitta shokam moha pradarshanaya upodhatattvena prathamadhyayo nirupitah. The first chapter so far, the first chapter has been presented as an introduction to the entire Gita, showing the cause for Krishna's instructing Arjuna. Krishna instructed Arjuna about the spirit soul. Why did he instruct? Because Arjuna was in lamentation and delusion. So the first chapter reveals Arjuna's situation, Arjuna's plight. Tataha shokam moha nivrtaye dehatma vivekaha tat sadhana bhuta asanga karma yoga sattva shuddhi purvaka bhagavad ashrayana sadhya sarvendriya samyamaha. Tataha sthita pragyata tat phalam sarva dukkha nivritti purvaka paramashantihi iti sarva gita shastrartha sankshepena dvitiya adhyaye nirupitah. In the second chapter, in order to eradicate Arjuna's lamentation and delusion, Krishna first of all explained the distinction between the body and the soul. And then, how do you come to that plane of realization of the distinction between the body and the soul? For that you need to engage in Nishkama Karma Yoga, which involves, which leads to purification of heart, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and control of all the senses. So this is what it leads to. And then one comes to the plane of Sthita Pragya. By Sthita Pragya he refers here to the plane of Bhakti Mishra again. And then its result, which is freedom from all miseries, and then absolute peace, Paramashanti, supreme peace. So this is the purport of the entire Gita Shastra. This has been presented in summary in the second chapter. Tataha uptartas yaiva shodasha adhyayaihi vistaraha krutaha bodhya. It should be understood that the remaining 16 chapters are elaborately explaining these points which have been brought out in the second chapter. Now, one point that he brings out in his commentary text 3. Is that all the Vedic prescribed duties have been presented in order to give one the desire to realize the Supreme Lord. तमेतं वेदानोचनेन ब्राह्मणा विविदिशन्ति यज्ञेन दानेन तपसा नाशकेन इति श्रुतेः कर्मणां विदिशायां विनियोगात् च एषः अधिकारभेदः अनुष्ठातृपुरुषभेद एव नियत इति शङ्कनीयम्। एकस्यापि पुरुषस्य अवस्थाभेदेन अधिकारभेदस्य सम्भवात् द वेदस् आर् प्रिस्क्रैब्ड् वेरियस् आक्टिविटीस् फार् ब्राह्मणस्, यज्ञ, दान, तप, फास्टिङ्ग् एण्ड् सो आन्, आल् वित् द ऐडिया आफ् लीडिङ्ग् द पर्सन् टु द पायिण्ट् आफ् डिसैर् फार् स्पिरिचुवल् रियलैजेशन्। विविदिशा कर्मणां विदिशायां विनियोग, दट् इस् द अरेञ्ज्मेण्ट् दट् इस् बीन् डन्। इट् शुड् नाट् बि मिस्अण्डर्स्टुड् दट् वेन् यु टाकिङ्ग् आफ् डिफ्रेण्ट् टैप्स् आफ़् एलिजिबल् पीपल्, इट् इस् नाट् दट् डिफ्रेण्ट् पीपल् यु आर् टाकिङ्ग् आफ़् लिटरलि डिफ्रेण्ट् डिफ्रेण्ट् पीपल्, द सेम् पर्सन् इन् वन् फेस् इन् लैफ् वन् लेवल् आफ् स्पिरिचुवल् रियलैजेशन् ही मे बि एलिजिबल् फार् समथिङ्ग् एण्ड् इन् अनदर् फेस् इन् लैफ् ही मे नाट् बि एलिजिबल् फार् समथिङ्ग्। In other words, when Krishna says there are two types of people, the person qualified for Jnana Yoga and the people qualified for Karma Yoga, it doesn't mean that there are some souls who are only eligible for Jnana Yoga and there are some souls only eligible for Karma Yoga. That is a question of where they are at spiritually. Today I may be qualified for Karma Yoga, tomorrow after I become pure hearted I may be qualified for Jnana Yoga. Same person could be also eligible for both or not eligible for either. So it's not that, he's not talking of people, he's talking of eligibility. Tatha hi avidyaya mrityam tirtva vidyaya amrutam ashnute avidya karma sangyanya tatiya shakti rishyate iti shruti smritya abhihita avidya shabda vachyena karmana purushaha mrityam pramadam tirtva tat karanam antahkaranam alam vidhuya विद्यया अमृतं मोक्षमश्नुते प्राप्नोति इति श्रुति अर्थानुसारेण मोक्षायां जातायां पुरुषः न सहसा ज्ञाने अधिकरोति। ऐडिया इस् दट् एस् इट् इस् स्टेटेड् इन् ईशोपनिषद् आल्सो, बै एन्गेजिङ्ग् इन् अविद्या वन् क्रासस् ओवर् डेत् अण्ड् बै एन्गेजिङ्ग् इन् विद्या वन् अटेन्स् इमोर्टालिटि। वाट् इस् दिस् मीन्? सो देन् ही एक्स्प्लेन्स् अविद्या फ्रम् विष्णुपुराणं वि लर्न् Avidya is a name for karma, prescribed duties, karma, material prescribed duties. So he says, we understand that avidya, the word avidya means karma. So by engaging in karma, one crosses over mrityu, death. That means one crosses over bewilderment. One crosses over bewilderment. That means one purifies one's heart, that's what it means. And by vidya, by jnana or by bhakti, by some other process which is not mundane, at least it is not rajasic, tamasic, it is something else, by that you can attain liberation. So that is the point. Vidyaya mrityam tirtva vidyaya amrutam ashnute. You require one process to get over death and another process to come to immortality. So death is a symbol of bewilderment and immortality means attainment of the spiritual world. So he points out that the process of Varnashrama Dharma, if it is executed properly, will purify the heart. That is crossing over death. And then you engage in another activity, different activity, bhakti. We understand that to be bhakti. And then you can attain the moksha, the liberation. So he points out, from this we understand that after a person attains mumuksha, the desire for moksha, then he becomes qualified for Jnana Yoga, not before that. And then he says, so this is the system. First you engage in Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, then you come to Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Or as he puts it, first you engage in Nishkama Karma Yoga, then you come to Jnana Yoga. So this is the point that the Supreme Lord has made here under text 3. Then he says, yasya tu karma anushthanam vina eva iha janmani ukta lakshanam jnanam jayeta tasya janmantara anushthita nishkama karma bhihi antahkarana shuddhi anumeya iti na ukta vyavasthayam kashchit virodha. There are some people you see that they are already engaged in Jnana Yoga in this life. Directly. How is that possible? So then he explains, no, in previous many lifetimes, many births, they have engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga. So they already purified their hearts. So in this life, they don't have to do it again. Because they already come to that point, they simply continue. So in this life, they appear not to be doing Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, but they have done it in their past lives. So this scheme presented by the Supreme Lord is not contradicted by that. It is preserved. Very important, if you want to properly understand Vedic culture, you have to look at it from multiple lifetime perspective. This is the way. Otherwise you'll get bewildered. It is not designed to be understood if you have a one lifetime paranoia. You're looking at everything in terms of one lifetime. Otherwise, the other points are practically already brought out. The other points are practically brought out. Okay, let's move on to the new section. Yes. Yes.
You said Keshava Kashmiri was the contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. Similarly, Sridhar Swami and Ramanujacharya.
No. Sridhar Swami was not a contemporary.
No, contemporary of someone else.
He's not a contemporary. He came after Madhvacharya.
After Madhvacharya. Sridhar Swami. Because his name is not there in the list of those 32 succession.
No. This is one branch.
One branch. So there would have been some other branch of Sridhar Swami.
No. It begins with Krishna.
Yeah.
From Krishna itself, there are four. Brahma, Rudra, four Kumaras, and Lakshmi. Here you are only shown one. This is simply to point out that we are bona fide. This is not an exhaustive list of who are all bona fide. Okay. So there are four paramparas in Kali Yuga. So I have in our line we find Bhakti Vinod. You'll find Bhakti Vinod.
Yeah.
Just a little bit about Prabhupada. You'll find Bhakti Vinod.
29.
You will see Baladev.
Yeah, 28.
You will see Vishwanath.
27.
So these are our acharyas and I read their comments in full.
Right.
Okay. But then you see much earlier you see one Madhva.
Madhva is number 5.
Okay. So, Madhva is coming in Brahma's line. See?
Right.
Number 2. Yeah. Now, there are other number 2s.
Yeah. So, Rudra, Lakshmi and...
Four Kumaras.
Okay.
So, if you look at the Lakshmi line, if you go to them, they will show you another list.
Yeah.
So, in that list, in the Lakshmi line, will come Ramanuja.
Okay.
And in the Kumara line, you will find Nimbarka. And in Nimbarka's line came Keshava Kashmiri. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navadvipa Mahatmya, Keshava Kashmiri is a reincarnation of Nimbarka Acharya. And in the Rudra line, from Krishna to Rudra it comes down. Then you will see we see later on Vallabhacharya. But even before that, Sridhar Swami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur repeatedly asserted and demonstrated that Sridhar Swami is a follower of Vishnu Swami Siddhanta. He's not a Mayavadi. The general misunderstanding is he's a Mayavadi. He's a Shankara follower. Shankara followers also imagine that he is a follower of Shankaracharya. And many Bharanta Vaishnavas, bewildered Vaishnavas also think that he is a follower of Shankaracharya. He's not a follower of Shankaracharya. He is actually a follower of Vishnu Swami. He quotes Vishnu Swami in a very critical portion of the Bhagavatam. So you understand that he is a follower of Vishnu Swami.
So Vishnu Swami came after Shankaracharya?
No. Vishnu Swami appears to have been very, very ancient, much before Shankara. Much before Shankara.
That means we we are studying comments of all the four lines.
Yes. That is what I'm doing. Only when required. I'm not going into all of the points in detail. Each line has its own gigantic library of writings. Like in the Madhva line, hundreds of books, thousands of books are written in the Madhva line. Ramanuja line also, but Ramanuja line are not as heavy in publishing. But Madhva line specifically, regarding pointing out the defects of non-Vaishnava doctrines, they've written a lot. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a desire to even print some of these Acharya's writings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur printed writings from the different lines, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also wanted to bring it up. The idea being that if you want to understand the highest contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you need to contrast it and understand in development. So therefore you study these writings. Okay, let's move on. Text 7. Yaspindriyani manasa niyamya arabhate arjuna karmendriyaj karmayogam asaktasya vishishyate. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Instead of becoming a pseudo-transcendentalist for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. So instead of becoming such a bogus transcendentalist, like as pointed out in text 6, instead of becoming a pretender, it is far better to remain in one's own business, that means one's own swadharma, and execute the purpose of life. That means move ahead towards pure Krishna consciousness, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. So when you become free from material bondage, then you can enter into the kingdom of God. That is why Krishna here, he says Vishishyate is by far better. He is by far superior. The prime swartha gati, or goal of self-interest, is to reach Vishnu. The whole institution of Varna and Ashrama is designed to help us reach this goal of life. So the whole institution of Varnashrama Dharma designed to help us attain Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. So if we engage in regulated devotional service, in other words, we engage in Gauna Bhakti Yoga and Mukhya Bhakti Yoga, then a householder can also reach this destination. He doesn't have to give up and go and sit and try to attempt Jnana Yoga and so on. For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the Shastras and continue carrying out this business without attachment, and in that way make progress. So in order to attain self-realization, one can live a controlled life as given in Shastra. You don't have to give up your family life and so on. You don't have to give up your Varna Dharma, your Ashrama Dharma. So one can continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts show-bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. There's a lot of loaded words here. This is authorized loading. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender. By a false pretender, he is talking of one who adopts show-bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. Public is innocent. And if you engage in show bottle spiritualism, that means you're just pretending to be a yogi. Then you're a false pretender. But a sincere person is not a false pretender. He understands, I'm involved in material life. But I'm increasing my Krishna consciousness in a regulated fashion. I'm increasing my spiritual life in a regulated fashion. So he's sincere. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than that charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. So a sincere sweeper who's engaged in Krishna consciousness properly is far better than a bogus meditator who is not Krishna conscious but who makes a show of meditation so that he can live. So he's called a charlatan meditator because in the previous words also we see Yaste manasasmaran indriyarthan mudhatma khyacharasya uchyate. He's meditating on sense objects. He's supposed to meditate on the Supreme Personality of God. He's meditating on sense objects. It's very, very important. These are all very important points. We should repeatedly examine ourselves to ensure that we don't fall into these traps. We should be meditating on Krishna. We took to this moment to meditate on Krishna. We didn't take to this moment to meditate on wine, woman. This is not the reason why we take to Krishna consciousness. So therefore, if we happen to notice ourselves falling into this trap, we should immediately approach a bona fide spiritual master and rectify ourselves. Otherwise, Krishna will consider even us to be mithyachara. You are supposed to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. You are not engaging in Krishna consciousness. You are engaged in maya. If a sincere person is disturbed by mundane thoughts, that's something else. But if you think that this is just normal, then let me go on like this, and let me give people the impression that I am a devotee, but at the same time I will go on like this, that is cheating, that is not allowed. You cannot engage in Krishna consciousness if you are dishonest.
When we say that a person is meditating on sense objects, does that word meditation means only thinking, or means he has some mantra on which is related to sense objects?
He is absorbed, his thoughts are absorbed.
Thoughts are absorbed.
The word meditation appears earlier also, dhyayato vishayantam sasanyasteshu vidayate dhyayataha. One while engaging in meditation on sense objects.
So that is a natural process of thinking, I mean not the...
No, it is not simply some flickering thought. This is... You are intensely contemplating. So when we happen to be in a situation like that, we should immediately snap out of it by replacing such mundane meditation with Krishna meditation. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's form.
In previous book we say mithyachara, like a pretender. So would a pretender be acting as if he is doing some meditation or dhyana, then he would be doing it on some mahamantra, Krishna mahamantra or something else?
There are people who try to attract so many women by pretending to be very serious in some spiritual process. Everywhere you see. In every religious or pseudo-religious organization, you'll see men like that. Women also like that. We also see them, so they want to attract some girls, therefore they start acting mangalarti. That is nonsense. Nonsense is everywhere. They do everything. Girls also suddenly start moving their beads to attract some men. Nonsense.
So that is okay. Moving the beads is all right, isn't it?
Moving the beads is all right.
But the intention.
But also, see, one thing is here: Krishna is not even talking of people who are even moving their beads. He is talking of people who are not even engaged in Krishna consciousness. They are trying to engage in some non-Krishna conscious spirituality while meditating on sense objects. He's talking of that kind of people. He's not even talking of people. Okay, even if you pretend to be Krishna conscious, you'll make some spiritual progress. That's a fact. Even if you pretend to be Krishna conscious, you'll become Krishna conscious. There was one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Before he became a disciple, he was actually sent by the British government to spy on the Gaudiya Mutt, because they thought that the Gaudiya Mutt has some connection with the independence movement and is gathering a lot of public support, or a lot of intelligent people are joining this movement. So they thought it was a threat. So they put a spy. That spy, he associated with the Vaishnavas, served the Vaishnavas, and finally became a Vaishnava himself.
Even
a European? No, Indian. Then he gave up all that spy business and he took up to Krishna consciousness fully, that's all. So even if you pretend to be Krishna conscious and you make pure devotees and sincere great devotees happy, that's okay. But you see, in text 6, Prabhupada writes, purport, there are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness but make a show of meditation while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. It is very clear that they are engaging in some sort of non-Krishna conscious meditation. And people are so innocent, they don't know all these things. They don't know what's the difference between Krishna conscious meditation and non-Krishna conscious meditation. They're simply doing something.
And most recognized religions of the world are also towards impersonalism. Muslim, Christians, Sikh.
Anything which is non-material, anything which is not grossly material, they think is spiritual. Even if it's about the mind is actually material. But they don't even know that much. They're so innocent, they're so naive. Public is foolish even. So when you do that, they think that is all some spiritual, you know, like if you have some katana or something. And they think that is some spiritual. They think it's all some spiritual something. You're in the fifth level, great, you know. Something, you know. They don't know what you're talking of. But whatever you talk of, it sounds like, you know, multidimensional human personality. It's all kinds of things people talk, and then because it's some word jugglery you're doing, and people think that you are very spiritual. So people, you know, they don't know. But this type of pretense is not proper. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't like it at all. He didn't like it at all. Man. And sometimes he would talk about some woman who wanted to have children from sadhus, because they thought then their child will be very, very pious. Okay. So sometimes they would become mates for some sadhus. And then, you know, you put them together and one day this happened, that happened, they looked at each other, this, that, and then finally the woman becomes pregnant and she gives birth to a child. Now there are also men who know that there are women like this. They're just mundane, materialistic people. So they would dress up like sadhus in order to attract such women who wanted to have children from a sadhu. So this is called Vanchita Vanchaka Sampradaya. The community of the cheaters and the cheated. So all these things happen. So this is called pretense. All these bogus people exist. What can be done?
What is the name of this file?
It comes in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav book. Bhakti Ukash Maharaj has recently published one three-volume set about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples. And somewhere there it comes. Very interesting. Very interesting.
You said Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also wanted to print the books like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, were you talking about the same books which are printed or some other books which were not printed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Or some translation from Sanskrit to English?
All that. He wanted to reprint. Have books translated, anything which is relevant for the spiritual progress of the devotees. He wanted all that printed. And he wanted that to be studied, he wanted them to be obeyed. These are all meant to be applied. So he wanted all these things done. It's a gigantic work. There's a lot, you know, his list of publications, what he wanted to be published, is a huge list. So many things he wanted printed.
So that process is going on.
That process, we are humbly appealing to everyone to
stagnant.
Not stagnant, it's gradually doing, but 1-2 persons cannot do these things. You need to have many devotees. Take up, they need to learn the language, become full-fledged practicing devotees who are considered to be acceptable by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had very high standards. So, I need to become serious, we all need to become serious, and then we'll be blessed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati with the brain to engage in this kind of service. But it's required, the world needs it. Otherwise people think that Hare Krishna is all emotional, meant for emotional people. It becomes a bigger problem when our own people say it's meant for emotional people. It's actually meant for intelligent people. Emotional people can tag on, there's no harm. But it's actually directed towards people who have some substance, so that they can do something. If you want to do good to others, then you have to organize people who are very intelligent. Prabhupada is very keen on that. We need to get intelligent people. Like Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to continue his movement, he got Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were the Prime Minister and Finance Minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. He got them as his future leaders. People who had some training and who had some intelligence and experience, and he had that kind of person. He didn't just take somebody and made them future leaders. So Prabhupada also, he noticed who have leadership capacity. And he made them leaders, trained them, corrected their mistakes, educated them, encouraged them, chastised them, everything he did. So we need to do like that. We need sincerity and intelligence and organization. Prabhupada's 3-point formula. We need all three. Alright, text 8. Niyatam kuru karmatvam karma jayo hyakarmanaha sharira yatra apichate na prasiddhye da karmanaha. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. There are many pseudo meditators who misrepresent themselves as belonging to high parentage and great professional men who falsely pose that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of advancement in spiritual life. Lord Krishna did not want Arjuna to become a pretender. So there are many people who think that they are coming in a Swayamacharya family, family of exalted Acharya, and therefore they are great. I am coming from Nityananda Vamsha. I am coming from such and such a family. I am a direct descendant of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I am a direct descendant of such and such a great exalted devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So there are people who may claim, who may misrepresent themselves as belonging to high parentage, and great professional men who falsely pose that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of advancement in spiritual life. And Krishna did not want Arjuna to become these kinds of people. His instruction was, no, you become regulated in your swadharma. Rather, the Lord desired that Arjuna perform his prescribed duties as set forth for Kshatriyas. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. You simply perform your niyata karma, your prescribed karma, vihita karma, your swakarma, swadharma. Arjuna was a householder and a military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder Kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord nor by any religious scripture. So this renunciation for the purpose of maintenance, if I become renounced, then the whole society will take care of me. Renunciation with such an idea is not approved by the Lord, nor by any religious scripture. That's why Prabhupada does not accept it as bona fide renunciation, and he says so-called renunciation. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. This is the beginning of an explanation. And the second half of the shloka, sharira yatra api chate na prasiddhye na karmanaha. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously. Capriciously means whimsically. Without purification of materialistic propensities. So we cannot give up our material prescribed duties capriciously, whimsically. I don't feel like doing it. It's so difficult. This is all my anyway. Like there are some people, I know one friend of mine, he's not a brahmachari, he's single, and he doesn't want to get married because the scriptures say marriage is maya. He's not a brahmachari, but marriage is maya. There's one thing he knows, marriage is maya. I told him, you're in double maya. So you should get into single maya, and then you can get into zero maya. So, you know, people think that, what is this, you know, marriage is maya, but he's in double maya. So for him it is good only. So he has to first of all become purified. Ramanujacharya repeatedly points out, that one has to come to the plane of avyakulendriya. The senses are very turbulent. They're moving you here and there. Vyakula. It's agitating. You cannot properly execute Krishna consciousness. Properly execute Krishna consciousness. As long as our body and mind situation are pushing us here and there. That is recognized by Rupa Goswami. And therefore, the very first instruction of Rupa Goswami is perform Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in such a way that the six urges will be tamed, controlled. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam, etan vegan, yo vishaheta dhira, sarvam vimam prithvi vichasashya. First of all, become a dhira, a controlled. Don't have turbulent senses. You cannot execute anything. You cannot do it because it's, how can you execute? It comes even in Bhaktira Samadhi Sangha. If you're always absorbed in anger, lust, greed, this, that, you know. How can you execute progressive Krishna consciousness? How can you increase devotional service? How can you do that? You're trying to increase one thing. In the middle of it, you're in some complicated situation. You're falling in love with someone, you're getting angry with your business partner, and then everything, you know, what is this? What is this? You're supposed to move in one track, one track. You're supposed to get everything else deprioritized and move ahead in this. If you can't do that, then you fix yourself within a specific varna, specific ashrama. Just patiently. Patiently means 10, 20, 30 years of steadily devoting ourselves within one varna like that. Steadily, steadily. That's called steady. In Varnashrama Dharma, you don't think in terms of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You think in terms of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, lifetime. That's how they think. Lifetimes. But if you really want to make it very fast, then one lifetime. But even in one lifetime, you think in terms of steadiness. Steadiness is very, very important. Prabhupada even mentioned that for those who are engaged in some steady service, even if he's just helping the pujari or something, if he's doing the same thing for 10, 20, 30 years, he should be given a certificate. He should be given an award. He was doing the same thing. Same devotional service he's doing. Steady. He should be glorified, appreciated. It's a great achievement. So Varnashrama Dharma is built upon that. It's built upon Nitya Karma. Daily duties. Naimittika Karma. Naimittika Karma, there are some occasional duties. That means some of them. There are two categories within it. One refers to periodical duties, like daily duties. Take for instance Gayatri. That's a daily duty, chanting Gayatri. Periodical duties refer to Samayika Karma. They refer to, for instance, duties every Ekadashi or you may do something every Purnima, you may do something every year, you may do something every 3 months, you may do something every fortnight, Pakshika, different types are there. So they all come within that category. And then you have some things which are circumstantial, Naimittika, Asamayika. Like for instance, if a child is born, then you perform certain functions, Jata Karma. When somebody's mother dies, then you perform some Antyeshti Karma. So these are circumstantial duties. And then there are optional duties. You do what you like. Like if you want to have a child, there are some rituals for that. You want to do this, you want to get money, you have something. They are called Kamya Karma. So Varnashrama Dharma is built upon these four categories of activities. The first two are routine. One is daily, one is periodical, another is circumstantial, and the last one is optional. So it is built upon that. So this is what Krishna is saying. You participate in Varnashrama Dharma, just engage in your prescribed activities. Just engage in your prescribed activities. Don't just give up this, because it's a very, very carefully designed scheme. Designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. It's a carefully designed scheme. It gradually makes us steady. Otherwise we are just going everywhere. We can't achieve anything materially. You can't achieve anything spiritually. So it is very, very carefully designed. So to break that and try to engage in some other an activity of some spiritual activity, one has to be very careful. One has to be very, very careful. And if you notice how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Prabhupada, how they organized Krishna consciousness within the preaching mission also, you notice that they also provided daily duties. Within Bhagavata Dharma also they provided daily duties, periodical duties, circumstantial duties, and they also provided optional activities. So in either case, whether it is Varnashrama Dharma or Bhagavata Dharma, you have to accept this scheme. And most of us, beginning with myself, most of our difficulties are coming because we are not that steady. So therefore we should become steady. And when you become steady, then the materialistic propensities will be purified. Work should not be given capriciously without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so, through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So if we don't do so, if our polluted propensities are not clear through prescribed duty, should not attempt to just become a pseudo-transcendentalist. If you want, you can become a bona fide transcendentalist, which is fine. But even a bona fide transcendentalist will also have daily duties, occasional duties, periodical duties, circumstantial duties, and optional activities. You will also have. So you are giving up one network to enter into another network. That's also a network only. You cannot get out of it and go into, I want to be free like a bird. You cannot do that. From one scheme, you can enter into another scheme if you want. Text 9. Yagyartha karmanam yatra lokoyam karma vandana tadartham karma kaunteya muktasanga samacharam. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for His satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Since one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality are so made that purpose can be fulfilled. So the prescribed duties have been given by the Lord in such a way that the body can be simply maintained. That purpose can be fulfilled. If you look at the text, you see Yagya Arthat. This is the very first word. Yagya Arthat. Yagya Arthat. Done only for the sake of Yagya or Vishnu. Yagya is a name of the Supreme Lord. Yagya is a name of Vishnu. And Prabhupada comments on that. Yagya means Lord Vishnu or sacrificial performances. There's two meanings. Yajna can mean a sacrificial performance. Yajna can also mean Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Vishnu. All sacrificial performances also are meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. Now even if you see, suppose you take it as Yajna means Vishnu, then Yajnarthat Karma or Yajnartha Karma means Vishnu Artha Karma. Karma performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. But if you were to say, no, Yajna actually means sacrificial performance. Fine. But sacrificial performances are also performed to satisfy Lord Vishnu. See, in that case, anyway, Yajna turns out to be for Vishnu Preeti, for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So it anyway comes out to mean that. Yajna means Lord Vishnu or sacrificial performances. All sacrificial performances also are meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin Yajna Vai Vishnu Ho. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yajnas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. So the idea is, if you perform these material yajnas, then properly, then you satisfy Lord Vishnu. Or you can directly serve Lord Vishnu. You can directly serve Lord Vishnu. That means you can directly engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Bada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Anyway, Lord Vishnu is satisfied with the material yajnas only when you mix them with Bhakti Yoga, Mukhya Bhakti Yoga. So by engaging in Mukhya Bhakti Yoga, you are directly serving Lord Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is therefore performance of yajna as it is prescribed in this verse. So automatically Krishna consciousness is yajna, because you are doing it for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Yajna has been prescribed in this verse. The Varnashrama institution also aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama achara vata purushena parah puman Vishnu rarajyate. The person who is engaging in Varnashrama, he is actually worshipping the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. So the Varnashrama institution also aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama dharma aims at satisfying Vishnu. Bhagavata dharma aims at satisfying Vishnu. And Varnashrama dharma has to be mixed with Bhagavata dharma in order to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Therefore, one has to work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Any other work done in this material world will be a cause of bondage. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Any other work done in this material world will be a cause of bondage. For both good and evil work have their reactions, and any reaction binds the performer. Therefore, one has to work in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu. And while performing such activities, one is in a liberated stage. Tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samacharam. In that way, you will always remain free from bondage. So when you are performing such activities, you are in a liberated stage. This is the great art of doing work. And in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna, or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed. This is the whole point. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification, but everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. So we should properly be situated. We properly be situated in the Krishna consciousness, and we should engage in our material duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. That is the whole point. This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. So what will happen from this? What will happen is, you will move to the plane of Naishkarmya, freedom from reaction, which is a jnana platform. And then you will gradually be elevated to pure bhakti yoga, transcendental loving service to the Lord. From there, you will be able to move to the kingdom of God. So it has to be done in a certain way. We have to participate in prescribed activities, but in a certain way. Not just in a haphazard way or with materialistic consciousness. From 10 onwards, Krishna, he begins to explain how prescribed Vedic activities are materially good, why it is required. Sahayagya prajasrishtva purovacha prajapati anena prasavishyadvam esha vostishtakamadhuk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent for generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because his performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. The very first thing that Prabhupada talks about is the Prajapati. Who is the Prajapati that is brought out here? The Lord of all creatures, Prajapati. Sahyagya prajasrishtva purovacha prajapati, the Lord of creatures. That is actually Lord Vishnu. And first of all, Prabhupada sets out the background to this. Prabhupada puts out the background to this in the beginning of creation. Sahyagya prajasrishtva purovacha prajapati. Pura, ancient. In the beginning. So what is that beginning? What is the whole idea behind this Varnashrama system? There's a reason why it is provided. And just like suppose someone tells you, you should operate this computer program. Naturally, maybe thinking, why has it been created? What is the purpose behind it? So similarly, Arjuna may be wondering, what is this thing? Prescribed duty, you're telling me to participate as a Kshatriya. What is this whole scheme? Why am I supposed to do this? Who created it? Why has it been created? So he explains the logic behind Varnashrama Dharma, Vedic culture, and how one attains spiritual benefit. We ran out of time, so we'll stop now. But this is a very interesting section. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.